We turn in God's holy and inspired word this morning to Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 5 through 15, and then in Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 7 through 11. The word of God in Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and read verses 7 through 11. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" We read the Word of God that far. On the basis of that, and many other passages of God's Word, it's the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised in His Word. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. What are the words of that prayer? And then follow the words of the Lord's Prayer, which we've just read. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior was a man of constant prayer. Again and again throughout his earthly ministry, we read that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father. And that's something that his disciples noticed. They noticed that Jesus prayed so frequently, so fervently, and that impressed upon the disciples their own weaknesses and shortcomings in prayer. They came to realize that they did not pray as frequently and as fervently as they ought. They recognized that they did not always have the proper content in their prayers. And so they came to Jesus and they asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus' response was to teach his disciples the words of the Lord's Prayer. Not that this would be the only prayer they ever prayed in always following these specific words, but Jesus gave them this prayer as a model to follow, to teach them the fundamental principles about prayer. We can learn much from the Lord's Prayer. In the coming weeks, the Lord willing, we're going to study the different parts of the Lord's Prayer, and in so doing, to follow the disciples in learning from the Lord how we are to pray. Here in Lord's Day 45, before coming to the specific contents of the Lord's Prayer, the Heidelberg Catechism gives an introduction to the subject. It introduces the subject of prayer by teaching us the nature of prayer, the necessity of it, the manner of prayer, and generally the contents of prayer. The purpose of our Lord in this is that we might grow more and more in our ability to pray. Prayer is an essential aspect of the Christian life. Martin Luther once said about the necessity of prayer in the Christian life that just as you can't have a person alive who's not breathing, so you don't have a Christian who's not praying. Prayer is as essential to the Christian life as breathing is for us in physical life. Just as the expression of physical life and health is our breathing, so the expression of spiritual life and health is praying. But at times we could wish that prayer came as easily to us as breathing did. Reality is it does not. Prayer is difficult. I don't doubt that every one of us here this morning would readily confess to that. Prayer is difficult. And as we examine our own prayer life, we see so many weaknesses and so much room for growth. We don't pray as fervently as we ought. We don't pray as frequently as we ought. We find that when we pray, it's easy for us to say certain words and phrases that we've memorized, but not truly to mean them. We find when we pray that our minds wander. Perhaps when someone else is leading us in prayer, or even when we're praying privately on our own, we're praying something and our minds wander off in one direction or in another direction. We find when we pray, we don't have the words to express truly what lives in our hearts, or we forget to pray about something that we know we should have prayed for. We find that we become very repetitious in our prayers. We struggle with praying publicly in our homes, with our families, or in a church or school setting. prayer does not come so easily to us. There's so much room for us to grow in our life of prayer. The purpose of these Lord's Days in the Heidelberg Catechism, the purpose of the Lord's Prayer, is to teach us to pray so that all of our life long we're growing in prayer. Lord, as it were, takes us here to school. By this prayer, teaches us to pray. Call your attention to this Lord's Day this morning under the theme, Lord, teach us to pray. First of all, let's notice learning the necessity of prayer. Secondly, learning the manner of prayer. And thirdly, learning the content of prayer. This first point, before we consider the necessity of prayer, we have to begin by understanding the nature of prayer itself. What is prayer? To put it simply, prayer is the child of God speaking to his heavenly Father. Prayer is covenant communication with our God. Prayer is an essential element of covenant life with God. When we speak of God's covenant, we're speaking of the relationship of friendship that God has established with his chosen people in Christ. And at the heart and center of that is fellowship, it's communion, it's friendship, it's the relationship God has established between father and children. That relationship is one of warmth. It's one of closeness and intimacy. And essential to that relationship of friendship is communication. That communication begins with God. Just as everything in the covenant begins with God, so the communication in the covenant begins with God. God speaks first. He speaks to us in the preaching. He speaks to us in the Bible. He speaks to us of who he is. He reveals to us his great work of salvation. He assures us of the forgiveness of our sins and of his great love for us. We respond to God's speaking to us by prayer. Prayer is the response of the heart and soul of the child of God speaking to our Heavenly Father. And there's all kinds of different things that we need to speak to him, and we want to speak to our Father in heaven. Our covenant communication with God includes words of adoration, the praise and worship of our great God. Our covenant communication includes words of confession where we acknowledge sin and guilt and we plead with God for forgiveness. Our communication with God includes words of thanksgiving and gratitude for all that he's done for us. Our covenant communication with our God includes supplications, petitions, bringing our needs and our cares before his throne of grace. That means, therefore, that prayer is the child of God consciously coming into the presence of God. We're always with God, and God is always with us, even when we're not consciously aware of that. We can never be separated from God. Prayer, however, is the child of God consciously entering into the presence of God, calling upon God, thinking about God, speaking to God. What we find so often in earthly life is that it's easy for us to live apart from God in the sense that we don't think about God. We don't speak to God as often as we should. It's often due to the busyness of earthly life. We have so many cares, so many responsibilities that are pulling us in one direction and in another direction, and our thoughts are so consumed with earthly things that we hardly give a thought to God. It hardly enters into our consciousness that we're in the presence of God. Prayer is a time for the child of God to pause, consciously to enter into the presence of God, a time consciously to think about God, to speak to God. Understanding prayer in that way, we can understand then why the Bible tells us to pray always. For example, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 puts it very straightforward. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean, of course, that every moment of our life we're to have our eyes closed and our hands folded. We do need those times. We need times of quiet, focus, times to put away every distraction and consciously speak to our God. But our whole life is not spent with hands folded and eyes closed. But what those passages that speak that way are teaching us is that we're to live the Christian life always conscious of being in the presence of God. Every moment of every day, no matter what we're doing in the ordinary responsibilities of life, thinking about God, speaking to God, living in dependence upon God. All of what we've said about the nature of prayer ought to impress upon our hearts that prayer is a miracle, a gift, and a privilege. What a gift and a privilege is ours as God's covenant people. We can speak to God. This creature of the dust can speak to the infinite creator of heaven and earth. This sinner can come into the presence of the holy God at any time, in any circumstances, no matter where we are or what is going on in our life. We can immediately have access to God. We are immediately in the presence of God, assured that our Father hears us. This is a gift. It's a miracle in a sense. It's a privilege. And that's how we ought to think of prayer. At times we think of prayer as a duty and an obligation that we have in the Christian life. It's something that we have to carry out, a box that we have to check off before we go on to do other things in our life. Certainly there's a necessity to prayer, as we'll see in just a moment, but that ought not to be the way in which we view prayer. We ought to view prayer as a privilege and a gift. It's not something that we have to do, something that we get to do. Prayer is a gift, it's a privilege. But there is, rightly understood, also a necessity for prayer in the Christian life. Heidelberg Catechism mentions three things in this respect regarding the necessity of prayer in our lives. And the first and most basic is this: God commands it. God demands of us as His children that we pray to Him. Answer 116 says, which God requires of us. To quote Luther again, Luther said that just as it's the business of tailors to make clothes, and just as it's the business of cobblers to make shoes, so it's the business of Christians to pray. God requires of us in the Christian life that we pray to Him. But the question is why? Why does God command us to pray to Him? The answer to that is the other two things that come out in question and answer 116. God requires of us that we pray to Him because He's ordained that prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. Answer 116, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Children, think about the gratitude that you're to show to your parents. Your parents do so much for you. They provide to the best of their ability for all of your earthly needs. They work hard to provide food and drink, clothing and a bed and a comfortable home to live in, a good Christian education. What our parents teach us as children is that we're to be grateful. That when our parents provide for us or someone else does something for us, that we're to respond in gratitude, to express our thanks for what they've done for us. Our Heavenly Father requires that we pray as an expression of our gratitude to Him for what He's done for us. And consider what He has done for us. Time would fail us to tell of all of the blessings that God our Father has bestowed upon us. He's chosen us in eternity in His love and established His covenant of grace with us. He sent His only begotten Son to suffer the torment and agony of the cross, to pay for our sins, to merit for us the blessings of salvation and life everlasting. He sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts to give us new life, to sanctify us, to strengthen us and preserve us. And our Heavenly Father provides for us our daily needs, even far and beyond what we need for each day. Our Heavenly Father has given to us so much. Knowing what God has given to us, our response is to be the response of gratitude. And the chief way that we show that gratitude is through prayer. The Catechism speaks of prayer as the chief part of thankfulness. We show our gratitude for what God has done for us also in lives of good works and keeping of the commandments of God and gratitude. But the chief way, the main way that we show our thanks to God for all He's done for us is through prayer. In our prayer, speaking words of thanksgiving to our God. It's something that God requires of us, but again, we don't live as Christians under a bare duty and obligation here that because we're required to do so, we'll pray to God and give thanks to Him. As those who know what God has done for us, as those who enjoy the blessings of salvation, this is something we want to do. We consider it a joy and a privilege. Hearts that are truly filled with thanksgiving rejoice in expression to that gratitude in prayer to God. Prayer is necessary for the Christian because God demands it. God demands it as the chief part of thanksgiving. And prayer is necessary for Christians because it's in the way of prayer that God is pleased to provide us with what we need. Answer 116 ends that way. It says, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Tell us, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Question might arise in our minds. Doesn't God already know what we need better than we do ourselves? And isn't God able to provide us with what we need entirely apart from our asking for it? And the answer to those questions is yes, of course. Of course God knows already our needs better than we do ourselves. And yes, God is able to provide us with what we need entirely apart from our asking that of him. Prayer does not change God, change his mind, or change his counsel and decree. But God has ordained that prayer is the way in which he's pleased to give us what we need. But it's in the way of prayer, in the way of our asking and seeking, going to him in prayer, that he's pleased to provide us with what we stand in need of. It's not a question of what God is able to do. It's a matter of what God is pleased to do. God is pleased to work in this way in order to teach us important spiritual lessons, to teach us about our complete dependence upon God. God is pleased to provide us with what we need in the way of our praying to him out of a deep sense of our dependence upon him and our need for his grace and Holy Spirit. The will of God is that we live consciously in dependence upon him for his grace and spirit. God is pleased to work in this way to teach us that he is sovereign and to impress upon us how weak, how frail we are, how dependent we are upon our God. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer, by the working of the Holy Spirit, changes us. It changes our perspective on life. It teaches us humility. It teaches us dependence upon our God. It's in the way of praying, asking, seeking, knocking, that God is pleased to provide us with what we need. We stand in need of grace to fight against temptation. We go to God daily then, praying to him for that grace. We stand in need of contentment in the midst of trials and loss and sorrow in the Christian life. We go to God praying to him for the grace of contentment and submission. We need wisdom, wisdom in all of our responsibilities, wisdom to live the Christian life. We go to God in dependence upon him, praying to him for wisdom. Prayer is necessary in the Christian life because God has ordained that he's pleased in this way to provide us with what we need. Hearing the necessity of prayer, we ought to learn something about the frequency of prayer then. If prayer is so necessary in the Christian life, and it is, then how often ought we to pray to God? Psalm 55, verse 17, a versification of which we sang earlier, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Here again we have the example of our Lord Jesus, who prayed so frequently. He prayed early in the morning while everyone else was asleep. He prayed late into the night. He prayed before major events in his earthly life. He prayed after those events. Even in times where it appeared he was so busy and there were so many calling for his attention, Jesus was not too busy to pray. He prayed without ceasing. Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, He who is God Himself, Jesus prayed. And if Jesus felt the necessity of prayer and saw the importance of prayer, how much more ought not we? How much more important and necessary is prayer for us, weak sinners? We need prayer. Knowing our need, our life ought to be characterized by prayer, that at morning and at noon and at evening, when we wake and when we go to bed, when we're in the midst of our work and our play, at all times and for all things, to go to our God in prayer. How are we to do so? What's the proper manner in which we are to pray to God? Heidelberg Catechism spends considerable time teaching us not only the importance and necessity of prayer, but also the proper manner in which we are to pray. There are three main things that we're taught here in Lord's Day 45 about the manner of our prayers. In the first place, our prayers are to be sincere. Answer 117. First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word, for all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. If we were going to summarize all that's said there, and there's much that's said, we could say this: God requires that in our prayers we pray sincerely. That we pray to the one true God alone. Today, there are some who teach that God really is the God of all the religions, so that even though someone maybe prays to the God of Islam, that really that's a prayer to God, and all the prayers of the Buddhists to all their different gods really is ultimately prayers to God, and God hears all of the prayers of all the men who pray to all their various idols. That's a lie. God hears not the prayers to idol gods. God requires of us that our prayers, the prayers that He's pleased to hear, are prayers that are addressed to the one true God only, the God who has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And although that's not the main point of the Heidelberg Catechism here, that does teach us something practically about prayer, the importance and the help of God's Word to us in our prayers. Often one of the struggles that we face in prayer is that we feel like we're repeating ourselves. We're saying the same things in the same way over and over again. One of the things that helps as we grow in our ability to pray is to pray the Word of God, to hear that Word of God, our covenant God who speaks to us first, and to bring those words back to God. As we read the Word of God at the supper table, for example, to take the words and the phrases of that passage and to turn them into prayers to God. Or in our personal devotions, when we're reading the Word of God, to pray that Word back to God, to have the Bible open in front of us, to have our eyes open and to look at the Bible, and to bring those words and to pray them to God. To pray to the one true God as He's revealed Himself to us in His Word, and to do so sincerely and from the heart. The will of God is that we worship Him and that we pray to Him sincerely, with a conscious dependence upon Him and a desire for His glory. God is not pleased with mere lip service, that we say words of praise and adoration to God, but we don't truly mean that. Or we say words confessing sin, but in our hearts we're not truly sorry for those sins. That we pray words of thanksgiving to God, but not truly thankful. Or that we pray for our needs, and we don't truly pray that out of dependence upon our God. God is pleased that we pray to Him from the heart, that we speak words of worship that arise out of a heart that stands in awe of God, that we pray for the forgiveness of sins with a broken and a contrite spirit, that we pray in thanksgiving because we truly are thankful for what He's done, that we ask of God for His grace and Spirit and all that we need, as we live in conscious dependence upon Him. That's the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, when He says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." Does not, first of all, mean that we're to be careful not to use the same phrases over and over again in prayer. Certainly that's an area that we can continue to grow in, that we use different words, different phrases to pray to God. But the main thing that Jesus is teaching there is sincerity. There were those who prayed these vain repetitions. They spoke all of these grand, eloquent words, but only to be heard of men, not truly out of a heart that lived in dependence upon God, not from sincerity. And Jesus says that. Don't use vain repetitions, empty words in praying to God. Pray sincerely and from the heart. First of all, our prayers are to be characterized by sincerity. Secondly, the proper manner of our prayers is humility. That's the second thing in answer 117. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. True humility arises, first of all, out of a knowledge of who God is, out of an awareness of His divine majesty. Arises out of a holy fear of God, awe and reverence of His greatness impresses upon me how small, how weak, how insignificant and sinful I am. And true humility arises out of a knowledge of who I am. Knowledge of my weakness, a knowledge of my undeservedness, a knowledge of how great my sins are. We're to pray to God out of that knowledge of who He is and who we are, to pray to God in true humility before Him. Not in pride, having lifted ourselves up, not in a feeling that we deserve whatever it is that we're asking for, but out of deep humility. We're told in James 4, verse 6, "But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Coming in humility to God in prayer means that we always come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that apart from Jesus Christ, we have no right to speak to God, no expectation of being heard and answered apart from Christ. We come in dependence upon God to provide us with all that we need. We're to come first in sincerity. Secondly, our prayers are to be characterized by true humility. And then thirdly, our prayers are to be characterized by confidence. The end of answer 117, thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. We are to pray in the confidence of faith. Confidence of faith that our Heavenly Father will hear and answer us. We have that confidence because God has promised to us that He'll hear us. Matthew 17, verse 20, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And in James 1, verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Our prayers are to be prayers in faith, in confidence, the confidence that God will certainly hear us. But how can we have that confidence? We have that confidence in prayer only in the Lord Jesus Christ. This doesn't contradict what we said just a moment ago, that we're to pray in true humility, the humility that acknowledges our sinfulness and how undeserving we are. We're not coming in the confidence of self, but our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. That for Christ's sake and what He's done for us at the cross, we are assured that our Father will hear us. Romans 8, verse 32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" And then what we read out of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, "If a son comes to a father and asks of the father for bread, is the father going to give him a stone instead? Or if the son asks for a fish, is the father going to give him a snake?" And the understood answer is there, no. The father will give bread and the father will give fish to the child. And then Jesus says in verse 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" Our Heavenly Father is pleased to hear us. His ear is open to our cry. He's pleased to answer us in giving to us truly what we need for Jesus' sake. In sincerity, in deep humility, and in the confidence of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, pray to the Father. In that confidence, pray to God for all that you stand in need of, for both soul and body. That briefly is the summary of the content of our prayer. I'm not going to spend much time on that this morning. again, developing the content of prayer, because that's what we'll deal with, the Lord willing, over the next number of Lord's days as we examine the Lord's Prayer. The content of our prayer is briefly that, all that we need for soul and for body. Answer 118, all things necessary for soul and body. All of our physical needs we're to bring to God in prayer. And all of our spiritual needs, which includes His grace and Holy Spirit, we're to bring to God in prayer. That summarized for us the proper content of our prayers in the Lord's Prayer. As answer 118 concludes, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," Jesus did so by teaching them the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer. The point of Jesus is not that this is the only prayer that we ever pray. We certainly can and we ought to pray this prayer. It ought not be the only prayer that we pray. We acknowledge that. It's very easy for us if we pray the same thing over and over again that it loses its meaning. We don't pray with the sincerity of heart as we ought. We can at times pray this prayer, but the point of Jesus in giving this is as a model to teach us the fundamental principles about prayer, to teach us the necessary and essential contents of our prayers to God. So as we proceed through the Heidelberg Catechism in the coming weeks, as we study in depth the various parts of the Lord's Prayer, we are being taught by the Lord Jesus Himself the necessary content of our prayers. The purpose of God in this is that we be instructed and that we learn and we continue to grow our ability to pray. Knowing the necessity of prayer in our lives, knowing the proper manner of our prayers, knowing the contents, what it is that we are to pray for, may God by His Spirit grant us that we continue to grow our prayers. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, teach us to pray. Apply this word to our hearts and lives so that we do already grow in our prayers, growing in our ability to speak to Thee, to respond in gratitude and in praise and dependence and trust in Thee. We confess our sins even in our prayers and acknowledge our weaknesses and shortcomings in this good work which Thou hast given us to do. And so our confession is, Father, that even the best of our works is corrupted and polluted with sin, so forgive us, sanctify our prayers for Jesus' sake, and hear us for His sake alone. Amen.